Hi there, welcome to another episode of the Bonsai Stuff Podcast. It's me, Scott Martin. Let me start by saying Merry Christmas. This is the 46th episode for 2023 coming out on Christmas morning. Not sure there'll be too many people listening to me, but when you do listen to it, wish you a Merry Christmas to you, your nearest and dearest, and may your life be full of loads of bonsai love and happiness over the holiday period. It's a really important time of year. It's a special time of year for a lot of people. It can be a happy, sad time. I understand that. But may your bonsai be the one thing that that unites us and brings us all together. All right. Been a busy week this week. It's been flat out lately. Decandling season for me has just finished. The tools have been put down. In fact, I've taken all my tools and given them a good clean. I strongly recommend that that's something you do as well, because how you leave them is how you're going to find them when you do come back to work on them at some point in the future. And 2024 for me is looking like it's going to be pretty full on with lots of travel, lots of bonsai work. So I want to make sure that everything's in tip-top condition. So I've been cleaning and oiling and sharpening and tucking things away exactly where they should be, so I know exactly what's going on with everything that's in my kit. So I've also been getting ready for Christmas. It's that crazy time of the year, the silly season, when no doubt you can sympathise and understand where I'm coming from. Lots of get-togethers with family and friends, and you know the gardens had to be in perfect condition. So I've been chasing my tail, trying to keep up with the weeding and the mowing, and making sure everything's looking as beautiful as possible. Also, I had plenty of questions about my watering system and watering in general. It's that time of year, isn't it, where things get hot and we get caught off guard, and it's a nervous time. But if you're new to a mix, if a more open mix that sort of feels like it's drying out a little bit more, best advice is I err on the side of caution and always overwater rather than underwater. But just draw a breath. Just keep an eye on your trees and don't go overboard with it. Just stay up with it. And you know, I've also been getting a lot of the garden plants ready to go. So for anyone that's on holidays that think they get to put their feet up and sit around a pool or down the beach, you know, if you've got property, if you're fortunate enough to have a block of land, then you certainly have to keep up with it. And holidays, I think, mean more work around the home than what they do in an office or wherever it is that you're actually getting paid for it. All right, so let's get into the podcast. This one's going to be on a decision-making checklist, something that can sort of give you a format, I suppose, for when you're about to do work on your bonsai. Just a few things that run through the back of my head. There's about 6 points that I want to go through and step through one by one. It's the second last one for the year, so it's coming to a close, so let's get into it. All right, so doing work or activities on your bonsai, it's fantastic. I love it. And you know, sometimes the bigger the better. I mean that. It can be a lot of fun. I'm not talking about the maintenance, you know, the slight pruning and that sort of stuff. But this checklist really applies to everything that we do with our trees. You know, whether it be repotting, whether it be pruning, whether it be major bending, you know, it's lots of things. And it's the sort of thing that you need to make sure you've got checked off, not just what you think the obvious stuff is, but also some other things that maybe happens afterwards, after you've done whatever it is to the tree, to make sure that it's going to come out the other side of it as best it possibly can, you know, thriving and really, really punching the air and taking those steps forward that we talk about. So first one I want to talk about is, and the first thing that goes through my head, and this is when I do absolutely anything with my bonsai, is I ask myself the simple question: is it strong enough? That's it. That's the number one point that you've got to come across. If you've got tools in hand and you've got maybe a caution flag up in the air, or you've got, you know, maybe that tiny little bit of doubt about, you know, if it's going to be able to withstand, or not withstand, but thrive from what you do, take that step forward, then stop. You know, put everything down and just reconsider exactly what it is you're doing, because strength of the tree is the most important thing that you've got to consider. I've got examples in my yard where I've put trees aside for years. Like I'm literally talking years and years and years to build up the strength of the tree before I do anything with them. You know, it might be I've got a collected Callistemon that I've had out of the ground now for at least 3 years. And it's to the point now where it's had a bit of styling work on it, a bit of basics, but it's still in a big grow box. It's still being treated with, you know, real extreme caution because the growth just isn't like what it should be. It's being looked after and given lots of TLC at the back corner. It could have transitioned very quickly into a bonsai pot. It could have been made really, really, really nice, but it could have died too. And that's the thing. It's that erring on the side of caution that I'd strongly recommend for everybody, that I proceed with caution all the time. I've got a Japanese black pine, a corky bark, that is relatively new to the collection, and it's just been winding backwards slowly, slowly, slowly. And sometimes, you know, seasons go by without me doing anything to it. You know, decandling's gone past and tree hasn't been touched, hasn't been wired. It got repotted a long time ago, and it's just easing into life in my yard. There's a few new shoots, but there's other stuff which is going brown and needles starting to fall off that shouldn't be. So I'm really nervous or protective of the tree, and I always put the tree ahead of myself. Like, I'd love to get into this thing and style it and wire it and make it look great, but you know what? It looks good. Take a photo, put it on social media, and then walk away, and you know, 3 months later it's dead, if it makes 3 months. So it's the last thing going through my head is the end result, more that if the tree's strong enough to take that step forward. If it's not strong enough to take the step forward, then I'll miss a year. As I've said before in the podcast plenty of times, time goes past really fast when you're talking about bonsai and you've got a good sized collection, because you've got distractions, you've got things that you have to do, things to keep you busy. And you know, I do a lot of stuff outside my own collection, so I'm not chafing at the bit to do it. If you've only got 10 trees and you know you really want to get the trunk bender out this holiday, well, you know, just think about it as to whether it's, you know, the tree's strong enough to actually undertake the task. So that's step one. So for step two, I ask myself, is it the right time of the year? Will doing whatever I'm about to do to the tree cause damage? And if it does cause damage, is the tree at a point where not only is it strong enough, but has it got enough of a growing season, let's say, left to heal from whatever I'm about to do to it to make it keep going forward? Or is it the wrong time of year? You know, am I doing it just because I've got time off? You know, the reason why this has been talked about now in this podcast is because it's Christmas. And in Australia, nice, you know, it's a great time of year where we all get pretty much time off. A lot of people do, majority of people do. And with that time comes working on your trees. I know, I've been there, I've done it so many times. And so many times I've done it, been really proud of what I've done, and then comes, you know, January ticks around, the year starts getting going, and I look out at that tree sort of February, March, as a change of season happens, and think, well, I've just killed it. hasn't survived the process. Looked great for a little while, like looked really, really nice. I've got one in my head, this radiata pine that I used to own. And you can tell where this story is going when I say I used to own it, because it was a very tall thing. You know, I wanted to make a sort of bent trunk, bring it down on itself, nearly a 180-degree bend on this tree. So I raffied, I taped, I put on hard, heavy wire. This was a long time ago. This would be 10, 15 years ago at least. And, you know, wanted to sort of build everything off one little key branch and didn't think about anything other than the finished design. So raffied, taped, wired, bent this thing over, buckled it in half, you know, secured it with guy wires, looked great. And instead of, you know, possibly doing the right thing, you know, it was over summer, so it was like, you know, 35, 40 degree temperature, you know, nothing to be sneezed at where the trees aren't under stress or anything like that because it's too damn hot. But so then I'd come down and all the foliage, I remember it being way down and really big and heavy, and I thought to myself, you know, I really want to build from one, the first branch, I want to bring it in so it's nice and tight and compact, so I've got this big beautiful bend in the trunk, comes down to just one branch, it's, you know, the whole tree's going to be built from that. So I didn't even think or be concerned about sap flow going past to all this other foliage. You know, if I'd left it there, maybe it would have healed the cracks that I'd put by bending this tree in half in the wrong time of the year, the wrong season completely, and, you know, just made it look nice. And then I got in and I wired this branch within an inch of its life and made it look fantastic. I was really, really happy with the result. And if it had been, you know, middle of winter when the tree was dormant, and I'd done it in stages and steps and done the work maybe over a 12-month period, it would have been a great tree. Would have been. But instead it turned into, you know, a bit of firewood, really, because I'd flogged it and I'd done it. And, you know, one, was it strong enough? Yep, sure was. Was it the right time of the year? 100% wasn't. It was a stupid thing to do, and it was only because I said to myself, I've got time now. I've got a day, you know, in my life where I can sit in front of my trees. What am I going to do? Oh, that one would be great if I fold it in half. Yeah, well, good work. All you did was just flog a tree. You know, I enjoyed the process. You know, the day that I had, I'll never forget the day that I had, but, you know, I really wish I had that tree with me still now. Imagine what it would be like, you know, 10 years later. Anyway, is it the right time of the year? If it's not, you know, hold off. And the third one. The third thing that I talk about when I'm going through this checklist in the back of my head, would it be better or detrimental to wait? Like, you know, I'll go back to that radiator pine that I flogged, I smashed in half. You know, would it have been better to wait and leave the foliage on there to allow the sap to draw past the wound and broken it down? Or would it have been detrimental to wait? You know, I think about detrimental is when it comes to repotting. You know, I think about that all the time. You know, is it the best thing to do, or is it detrimental to, you know, to wait? And if I wait and I don't repot, then, you know, and it's the right time of the year. So I've been through the tree strong enough. Yep, sure. Right time of the year. Yep, it's repotting season, whatever time of the year it is that's repotting season for you. And would it be better or detrimental if I just left it? And if the tree's been in the pot too long and I don't undertake the activity, I don't repot this thing, and I don't free up that that root mass and get some soil in there that can allow for water flow and airflow in there, you know, will it be detrimental? Bloody oath it will be. You know, the tree will most likely struggle through summer, go backwards, and so I always say to myself, you know, I'm sure that there's other things I'd like to be doing during that time of the year, but if it's detrimental to leave it, then you have to get on with it. It's like spring pruning of your deciduous trees. If you just leave it and leave it and leave it, what happens? They keep pushing out. They get really thick, really coarse. On a refined tree, on a tree that's developed, you know, really it's in the refinement stage. To allow it just to continue to grow, it's going to be detrimental. But, you know, flip the coin. You've got a young tree that's just been repotted. You're really not focusing on, you know, anything more than really trunk and primary branch development. Is it better to let those branches grow? Sure it is. Let them grow. Let them push and extend and get thickening on the trunk and on those key branches, and then cut them back later on. So it's actually detrimental to do the work on the tree. So that whole stage of development thing comes into it. You know, and that's why these questions are pretty generic, and you can't broad brush saying, you know, is it strong enough? That applies to every single tree. You know, is it the correct time of year? That applies to every single tree. But is it better or detrimental, the work that I'm going to do to it? And that is an individual thing. That's, okay, what's the plan for this tree? Go back to episode 1, 2023. Listen, if you've done a plan, you set yourself some goals with this thing. All right now, what does the plan tell you want to do? You want to keep refining those twiggy branches? Then get in there and prune it. Make sure you're cutting back any of that growth that's starting to extend. All right. Plan is let it thicken, let it grow, let it extend, let it build its strength. All right, well, don't cut it then. Just leave it alone. Let it do what it's going to do. Let things happen the way that they should happen, and be strong. You know, just because you've got the time doesn't mean you should do it. All right. So step 4 is one that I learnt the hard way. I am all about being prepared. I'm like a Boy Scout. I like to make sure that I am thoroughly prepared for whatever it is I'm going to do. And if I'm doing a demonstration for a bonsai club, I think about what I've got to do. I plan it for days in advance, and I make sure I've got every single tool that I need to do that job. There's nothing worse than getting in front of a group of people. Forget the people. It's nothing worse than getting in front of your bonsai, going to do something, getting halfway through and going, oh, you know what, I don't have whatever it is. You know, I'm going to do this major bend. So, yep, I've got raffia. No worries, a raffia. All right, so I want to put some tape on it now to hold the moisture in. Do you have tape? No, I don't have tape. Well, okay, what are you going to do? You're going to compromise on it, or are you going to suddenly stop, go down the hardware store, grab some tape, and then come back and finish the task off, which is probably what you're going to do. So it's the question you've got to ask yourself. This is number four in the decision-making checklist. What do I need for the job? What do I need for the task? And make sure that you've got it ready, prepared, cleaned, sharp. Everything's underway. Everything's ready before you start making the first step into whatever it is that you're going to do. You know, do you have the correct wire? If you're going to do major bends, have you got the heavy enough gauge wire to do this job? There's no point going, okay, I'm going to bend this tree in half, suddenly getting out the wire and go, oh, I've only got 3 mil aluminium wire. Will it be able to do the job? There's no way it's going to be able to do the job. So then what do? You compromise, you put on 15 layers of 3 mil, and then suddenly work out that it's still not going to be strong enough to do the job. So you've got to make sure that you're prepared. You know, be the Boy Scout. Go through, make a checklist of what you've got to do. And by all means, you know, this happens with me. People are getting ready to do air layers. You know, I get messages all the time. Hey, what do you think I need for an air layer? You know, it's like, well, this, and this. And they're like, cool, okay. And I say, but have you got this as well? It's like, no, I didn't even think about that, you know. And it's all those little things you've got to be prepared, and search it on YouTube. You know, have a look and see how other people have done it. Make sure that you can mimic it, that you can replicate whatever it is that needs to happen, or whatever it is that you want to do. As long as you've gone through the other three things on your list and you're green lighting, saying, yep, it's go, we're on to do whatever it is, because all these other three things have been ticked off. All right, do you have the tools that you need to get that job done? If you don't, go out, do whatever, buy whatever it is, or acquire or borrow whatever it is that you need to get, so that you can be confident that when you do start the task, that you can get through it. And the fifth thing you've got to do is, so you've got, you know, green light on the tree, time of year, it's got the strength, it's, you know, it's going to be positive for the tree that you do it. You know, do you have the tools? Yeah, I've got all the tools. The fifth thing that you've got to ask yourself is, do you have the time to complete the tasks? If you don't, then wait, then stop. You know, wait and consider how long it's going to take for you to do whatever it is you're going to do. There's nothing worse than getting halfway through and being called because you've got to leave and be an appointment, or dinner's on the table, or whatever it is. You know, I know, I've been there, I've done it. I've had things where you're sort of like, oh, but I just need another 10 minutes. Well, we don't have 10 minutes. And it's like, but. So just make sure that you've got a clear schedule. Give yourself plenty of time. If you think it's going to be half an hour for whatever it is and you've never done it before, air layering, major bending, whatever it is, repotting, if you think it's half an hour, give yourself an hour. If it's an hour, give yourself two. Make sure you've got plenty of room up your sleeve, up plenty of time to factor in the unknown. You know, if you get partway through doing a repot that you think is going to be pretty straightforward, suddenly you realize that there's a massive route that you've got to deal with that's going to require, you know, the saw to come out, or a die grinder to get in there and remove some of it, or whatever it is. Just make sure that you're ready to go and factor in the unknown stuff. You know, it's hard to always consider everything that you need to do, but that's what I'm saying. If you think it's an hour, give it two. If you think it's two, give it four. You know, if it's a good day's work, well, maybe leave yourself a day and a half to get it done. You don't want to go leaving things partway through. You want to make sure that you can complete the task as thoroughly and accurately as you possibly can without the pressure of time. I know what it's like when you start to rush. You know, imagine you're doing a trunk bend. You're taking this thing and you're turning it into a pretzel, and you sort of suddenly get through, you know, part of it. You're sort of halfway through. You're really happy. Fibers are starting to stretch. You're doing it nice and slowly. Suddenly you look up at the clock on the wall and go, Jesus, I've got 10 minutes. That's it. All right, I've got two more bends to do. Here we go. Bang, bang, bang. Do them. 10 minutes comes. Yep, no worries. How good am I? Next thing, you know, you're looking at the tree somewhere down the track and you've got split trunk, or, you know, even worse. You know how it's going to end. So just factor in that you've got to have a lot more time up your sleeve than what you possibly think, because things do take time. And I can encourage you strongly to slow down when you're doing major tasks, which is what we're talking about here, when you're doing the major tasks, just slow down. And even if it's minor, even if it's, you know, you're pruning or you're decandling or you're doing whatever it is with your trees, enjoy the process. You know, rushing it from point A to point B is not, that's the journey. That's what we're here for. So if you can slow things down a little bit, take a deep breath, you know, get yourself a cup of coffee, lean back every now and then in the chair, be proud of what you've done, enjoy it, you know, and make the most of it, because where you are right now with your tree, doing whatever it is that you're doing right now, you're never going to do it again. Like, you'll never be at this point again with this exact tree. So it's unique what you're doing, and you need to absorb it and you need to learn from it. So next time you undertake this task, no matter how menial you think it is, whatever you're doing now, learn from it. So next time it's even better. Make sure that, you know, you're cracking these things out so they're absolutely spot on and absolutely perfect. And if you're doing it over your summer holidays, then sit back. There's no rush. Draw a breath, you know. Like I said, just make sure you've got a clear dance card in front of you so you can take your time and really get in there and just enjoy the process. Right, so wrapping up this decision-making checklist, we'll zip through it, you know, to where we are today. Is it strong enough? Simple, easy question. And be honest with yourself, because if it's not, for whatever reason, and you undertake whatever it is you're about to do, you need to stop and think about it. Not from your perspective, not because you've got the time, not because you're itching to use your tools. Think about it from the perspective of your bonsai, of the tree. You know, is it best for the tree? If your focus is on the tree and not on yourself, guarantee you'll take massive leaps forward, not only in your quality of your trees, but in your satisfaction and your happiness when it comes to your bonsai. All right, is it correct time of year? Care guides, talked about them, how, you know, I sort of don't like them, but they can sort of help you a little bit and give you maybe a general gist if it's the right time of the year to do something like that. Use them wisely. Reach out to people around you, maybe local bonsai nurseries, bonsai clubs, bonsai friends, your bonsai network that I've talked about. Hey guys, was this something that you'd undertake at this time of the year? Or no, you know, or reach out to me. You know, I'm always here. But just, is it the right time of year? Third, is it what you're doing going to be better or detrimental for the tree? If it's better, proceed. Detrimental, stop, reassess, work out exactly what you need to do to make it so it's actually better for the tree, not just for yourself. What do I need for the job? Do I have the right tools? Are they all ready to go? Is everything clean, prepared, sharp, out on the table in front of you? You know, you don't want to go hunting around saying, God, where did I put that trunk splitter? It's got to be here somewhere, when the tree's sort of in pieces on the bench. Just make sure you've got everything ready to go. Do you have enough time? Don't put yourself under the constraint of being rushed to finish the task. If you are, you'll compromise, you'll do it too fast, and you don't get to enjoy the journey, which is what this is all about. It's why we love our trees. It's why we love doing bonsai, because it's a process. It's a journey of from putting a seed in the dirt to, you know, having a masterpiece on your bench that outlasts, you know, your family tree, for goodness sake. It's the whole thing. It's beautiful. It's a beautiful thing. I love it. Anyway, now the last thing to wrap up the decision-making checklist for working on your trees is, what do I have to do afterwards and am I prepared? So whatever it is that you're doing with your tree, what do you do with it after you've done the work? Does it need to go into a sheltered spot in your yard? Does it need to stay in the workshop for a period of time? Does it need to be, you know, babysat? Does it need to have a special, you know, mix of, you know, plant starter or something to take care of shock on the tree? You know, does it need cut paste? Does it need cut putty? What do you do with the tree once you've done whatever it is that you're going to do? So you go through all this process where you're planning the task, you're planning the process, you're planning what you're doing afterwards to make sure that always number one focus is the tree, is the bonsai. So when you finish, when you complete the task, the tree is going to take a step forward. You know, it's not going to be something that you're going to do all this work on it. You know, it's come back after, you know, your Christmas holidays, look around your yard and go, yeah, geez, I've done a great job. And then, you know, you're really sad and you're disappointed somewhere down the track because you've done the wrong thing. You've pushed it, and you know when you have. I know. Like I'm not doing this podcast from an ivory tower. I'm doing this podcast out of my experience that I have been you, and you are me. You know, the way that I think about the trees, and I know the way that you think about the trees, and that's not urgency. I don't know if that's the right word for it, but wanting to get there and pushing things on. I've learnt the hard way. I've been through a lot of trees. You know, I've taken a lot of wrong turns, and I try and minimise those wrong turns and those steps that I've taken that were wrong. For everyone that listens to the Bonsai Stuff podcast, to say, you know, just draw a breath, because I found that, you know, that the magic is that if, you know, the wonderful, you know, the wonderful special way, the rapid way to get there, to how do you make a brilliant bonsai in no time at all? It's to slow down. It's to stop and think and put the tree as the primary focus. Go through these steps in the back of your head to make sure that you've done everything in the background. Like that first one, is the tree strong enough? That's it's so many podcasts in that. And if you go back and listen throughout the year when I talk about fertilizing and pest and disease and fungal issues and blah, 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 all everything, it's all about the strength of the tree. And it's not something that just happens overnight. It's not something that you can suddenly go out there, sprinkle some magic bonsai dust onto your trees this afternoon, and suddenly the tree is strong enough tomorrow to do whatever you want with it. It's a really long, gradual process that doesn't have an end point. You know, it's not leave it for 3 months, come back, and then you can do it. It's like leave it for 3 months, review it, and then see what else you need to do to make sure that it is strong enough. And have a target in your mind and say, you know, I've got repotting time coming up, you know, next late winter from a trees. Are they strong enough? So I do things now with my trees to make sure that they're at the point where I know they're going to be at peak health. So when I do repot them, they're going to keep taking those steps forward. And then, you know, I think, you know, am I going to be decannelling this tree? All right, so if I'm decannelling this in December 2024, 12 months down the track, and I've done it now, what's my next course of action? How do I make sure this tree is strong enough for me to undertake that work? And it seems like such a simple, vague thing to say, but it's not. It's a good hard look at yourself and your trees and everything that you do with them, the microenvironment that you've got, your healthcare system that you've put in place for your trees, and coming into this hot burst that we've got. You know, I've talked about the weather patterns in Australia for a lot now, and there's, you know, the extreme heat. It's summer. It's the way it is. It's no surprise. It's been this way forever. So, you know, make sure that you're looking after them and getting through this next patch. So when you do make this decision-making checklist for, you know, and the time's right and everything's perfect and you've got everything lined up, all your ducks are ready to go, your tree's perfect, and you can pat yourself on the back and go, you know, good work, mate. You've done a great job. You've got your tree to this point. Now we can take those steps and we can really do what we need to do. Righto, we're done, folks. There's going to be one more podcast coming through for the year, and I know, next Monday is next year, so that means there might be a slight change in the schedule of posting, because I'd really like to get another one done this year if we can, and go for 47 episodes, and then take a little bit of a bit of a well-earned break from the podcast just for a few weeks, and then come back fit and firing and well rested. So it's a lovely time of year for me. I really enjoy it. I love the sense of joy that's around the place. I'm not a big one on presents and all that sort of stuff, but I do love that things ease off a little bit and you get to spend a bit more time with your trees, with your bonsai. You know, spend the morning out walking around, doing simple things like weeding without the pressure to race off and jump in a car and head to an office or anything like that. Or, you know, I feel for everybody that has to do that sort of stuff on a regular basis. And hopefully this podcast coming out on the Monday morning really puts a bit of a smile on your dial for starting your week on the right bonsai foot, and pushes you and encourages you and is a bit of a guide, like a lot of the messages that I get come through saying that. So I've really enjoyed putting this podcast together this year. I must admit, I was a little concerned and dubious as to content, producing it every week. And I thought maybe by the end of the year they're going to be bloody short. You know, you're going to have nothing to talk about. But I'm like the Everetti bunny. You know, you get me started talking about bonsai, and it's honestly hard to shut me up. I have a bit of a secret for you. I have a countdown timer in front of me letting me know how long I've been talking for, so I don't keep going on and on till I'm blue in the face and I have to remind myself to breathe every now and then, otherwise I'm going to pass out. But I love it. I'm passionate about bonsai, and I'm passionate about passing on anything that I can. You know, I'm not the be-all and end-all when it comes to bonsai. I know that, and I don't want to be. I want to be the best that I possibly can. But there's so much of a bigger bonsai world than just me. And if I can be one little piece in the puzzle in a few people's bonsai journey, and I can make you happy and look at your trees in a way that makes you smile, and you know, have your morning coffee out there and go, yep, yeah, Scott, I'd love this. Well, job done. I'm really happy. So it's not time for me to get sappy and soppy on you yet. There's still got one more episode to go for the year. Thank you for listening in, as always. I do love it that there's so much positive feedback out of this podcast and that it does something. Thank you very much to the subscribers. You mean the absolute world to me, and you keep this podcast going for so many people. And I'm hoping that you're getting value for it, for your contribution, because it means a hell of a lot to me. So thank you very, very, very much. Merry Christmas to everybody. May your Christmas day be full of lots of joy and cheer. And if you partake a few quiet ales as well, I will raise a glass to absolutely everyone that listens to this podcast on Christmas Day and say thank you in my own special way. Please come back next week. There'll be one. I'll try and get out on New Year's Eve. Maybe it's a way you can, before you start your festive season, you can have a listen to one more Saturday of Bonsai Stuff podcast. So thank you very much for listening in. Give your trees a cuddle. Spend time with them. Now we can. We've got some feed up time. Enjoy them. Enjoy everything that you do. Pluck all the goddamn weeds out. And until next time, happy bonsai.